When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Instacart's Deal Week is coming up from December 17th to December 23rd. That means you can get up to 25% off holiday gifts for the whole family from stores like Best Buy, Bath & Body Works, PetSmart, and more. And you can get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Just think of it as Instacart's little gift to you. And while we're on the subject, why not get a little something for yourself, too? Shop Deal Week from December 17th to 23rd and save up to 25% on gifts. Discounts vary. Minimum spend, maximum discount, and exclusions apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right. Dick Vermeil, he joins us every single Friday at this time. He's brought to us, of course, by Independence Blue Cross, the region's strongest network of doctors and hospitals. Means you can choose where, when, and how you get the care you need. Learn more at IBX.com. Reminder, it's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia as we broadcast today away from the Tasty Cake Studio. We are at Borgata on a great football Friday, entering another football weekend. A lot of college football. And, of course, pro football on Sunday and pro football on Saturday, by the way, as well. And Dick Vermeil right now. Good morning, Coach Vermeil.
Good morning.
How are you,
Merry
Dick?
Merry Christmas. Hey, happy holidays, guys.
Dick, to you, too.
Happy holidays.
To you and your family always, Dick. So, Dick, let's start with this reality. We'll get to the Saquon thing and all that. But, you know, Sirianni went through a tough spot last week. There was a lot going on. You know, there was a lot of turmoil. AJ's comments, Brandon Graham's comments. And yet they went out there and just mowed down the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I'm curious, you know, Dick, from your standpoint as a coach, the more you see Sirianni, are you just, because I am as a non-coach, more and more and more impressed. Are you really impressed with the way Sirianni has evolved in his tenure now in year four?
Yeah, I think there's a becoming definition of what he's all about. And, you know, he's been around here a few years now, but yeah. You have to give him more credit than we normally do here in Philadelphia as you're building a program for the things he's done, his winning percentage, and then not playing well one week and getting ripped, and the next week playing like they're a Super Bowl team. You know, the more you watch him coach and how he utilizes his great coaching staff and lets them coach is impressive.
Yeah, it's really remarkable, I think, what he's doing. Now, Dick, he's faced with a somewhat unique situation this week. So Saquon's got a shot at the Dickerson record, 3 games. He's got to get 140 yards each game to break that. Would you as a coach, now let's go full scope here. They were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago, lost it. Organization does have a Super Bowl from 7 years ago, so it's not like they've never won one. Saquon, the whole Giants thing, this is his first time on a really good team. Would you want to get the ball to Saquon a little bit extra to try to increase that record-breaking probability, or do you just play it totally straight, totally down the middle, and let the chips fall where they may on a normal called football game?
I play it totally straight according to the defense we're facing. It might dictate we run the ball more. You know,
sure,
they're not
yeah.
real good at 25th against defending the run. So it may dictate that he runs the ball more. Does it have to be Saquon? No. You know, the other kid doesn't do a bad job when he goes in there. But I wouldn't let the record influence the decision of how to coach my football team game day.
I think that's smart. Hey, Coach, have you ever had a quarterback with a broken finger on his left hand? And how did that impact the way that the game ended up being called? It seemed like Jalen was completely unaffected last week, but I don't want to just assume that it's an easy thing to deal with.
You know, I don't think it is. First off, it isn't mentally. Then secondly, it's physically it bothers you some. I've had quarterbacks that had injured fingers on the left hand, opposite throwing hand. I don't remember having one that had one broken. Now, I don't remember that. But there's no way it can help you. What it takes, a great mental discipline to not allow it to affect you negatively. I think Jalen did a masterful job of just ignoring it and playing football. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and the trainers did a good job with it. We all saw how it was taped up and those kinds of things. But there's no way it helps you play better. I know that.
Yeah, sure. I do think it helps. I do think it helps guys having the relationships, the interrelationships. I think you tapped into the this connecting, like Coach Sirianni talks about, long before people were really talking about it. This is something, Coach, I can remember you being emotional with your players, with your team, way, way back when.
Yeah.
And you know, it's something that was unusual at the time. Do you feel like a kinship with Nick Sirianni in that way, that you both feel emotions and you lay them on your sleeve a little more than a lot of the head coaches out there seem to have the comfortability to do?
Well, I think first off, I've often said, you got to be who you are.
Mm.
When you are not responding and acting emotionally or any other way, how you actually are, players recognize it. You know, so I think they recognize, they live with your pluses and minuses and your personality and your emotional stability and how you respond and that. And I think Nick has a lot of it. That's just who he is.
Right.
I don't think he really thinks about it. I'm sure he gives preparation to game preparation mentally and emotionally all the time. But, you know, the longer you coach guys, remember in the old days, you can remember, you coached guys for a long time. You know?
Yeah.
You have a lot of players, you know, there was no free agency, and you got a guy off the waiver wire maybe that was waived, was supposed to be too old to play anymore, and you brought him in and he played two more years for you. It's different then. So, but I think connecting like Nick really works at is critical. And that, I think, started all the way back with, number one, who I am and was as a person, and also going up through the ranks of coaching.
Wow.
Take from Vermeil with
high
us, right?
Kids,
yeah, I'm
junior college kids, and you wow. just, you see what really matters to a player.
Sure.
As to how he responds to you, both emotionally and technically and intensity-wise and everything else, and even in a negative environment.
Yeah.
You know, but
you know,
I think, yeah, go ahead.
Dick, speaking of connecting, I heard a story one time, and I'm curious if you can confirm this, that, and this would be a former player, so it wouldn't be about the players you were coaching in that moment, but I'm sure players you were coaching would appreciate that you had this propensity. I heard that before you coached in the Super Bowl, the 99 Super Bowl, that you called, was it a former quarterback from college or high school, shortly before
John Shira,
the game?
My starting quarterback in the Rose Bowl.
And you called him to thank him for helping you get to a stage that got you back to a second Super Bowl. Is that correct?
Yeah, I called him Chuck Knox, Chuck Knoll. Okay.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, if you remember right, there was a blizzard area going on in Atlanta, Georgia, when we went to the Super Bowl with the Ram team. And we had to go to the stadium 2 hours earlier than you normally would. So you had extra 2 hours to sit around that locker room. And what I started thinking about is all the people that helped put me in this position to coach a Super Bowl game. You know?
Yeah.
So you can't help. You know, and I love staying in touch with my players, as you know, with like Jaworski. And
I know.
You know, I love staying in touch with them.
Yeah,
you
and know? They love that about you, obviously.
Well, they keep me informed. I learn from them,
yeah.
Especially Ron today, because as he studies the game, I don't have access to the game like he has going over to NFL films. But
sure.
When I talk to him, I'm looking for information I can use, you know.
So, Dick, if you're Nick Sirianni right now, you've been in this spot. Team's rolling. You're getting near the playoffs. You're trying to close strong. How do you keep drilling down on the guys when they keep winning? Is that a challenge to keep them focused when they keep winning?
Yes, it can be, especially in this city, because you know how we all, including Vermeil here, overreact to when they play extremely well and get very upset when they don't play well. And right now, yeah. You know, they played real well last week. And they play a team. You know, this team they're playing is a pretty good football team. You know?
Yeah.
In fact, our defensive team doesn't get a rest. So it's amazing. Yeah, their defense is not what our defense is. But in my computer report, this game is predicted to be a 3-point difference game. Last week against Pittsburgh, it was predicted to be an 8-point difference game. That's scary to me.
Yeah.
That's scary. Well, what are the Commanders doing that gains the respect of my computer?
Well, how good is this young quarterback?
8-point.
Well,
the quarterback right now is a young Jalen Hurts. Their numbers, they're all right here in front of me. Compare them all the way down. It's amazing how well this kid is playing.
Wow.
Amazing. Like Jaworski said earlier in the year, he's never seen a young quarterback play as well as this guy. When you look at their quarterback efficiency ratings, there's very little difference. They're percent complete. In fact, Daniels is 70.5%, and it hurts to 69.6. Probably won't make any difference tomorrow. Yards per pass attempt, they're very close. Percent TDs, they're very close. Percent interceptions, they're very close. It's amazing how well this kid is playing. Now, our defense will not allow him to play as well as he has been playing.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Hey, Dick, what's your personal prediction for the game?
I think we beat him, but I think it's going to be surprisingly tough to do it.
Okay. Well, hey, listen.
This team is extremely well-coached football team. And Nick and his staff know that. They can see it just like I can as a retired coach and like Jaworski can as he looks at it. NFL, this is a well-coached football team. They're not as good a football team as the Eagles right now, but they are close enough in some real good areas to make the game very competitive. If we don't turn the ball over and play smart and get stupid penalties like Denver did last night, three defensive penalties, giving them first downs. Yeah, they end up losing a football game. You can't do that against good football teams. And I think our team last week was a better picture of what they really are than the week before. So I think we're going to beat them, but I have a lot of respect for what the Commanders are doing.
Yeah, they've had a good year. Dick, one more thing, one non-Eagles football question. Just curious, of course, you coached in college football and love all levels of football. This weekend, for the first time ever, we have college football playoffs. Penn State plays tomorrow. There's 12 teams in it. Do you like this new structure? Do you think they got the right number with 12? What are your thoughts on how college football is now doing what they're doing?
I like the playoff system and that. I hate the NIL, the transfer portal.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that's a contradictory. Teaching players how to be disloyal. I don't hear a football coach anymore in college talk about what the kid's grade point average is. about NIL and transfer portal. And geez, you know, just Penn State this last week, they're talking about losing their quarterback because he's going in the NIL, how it is structured in the transfer portal, how it is structured that he has to go in before the bowl game, playoff game. You know, it's just, I don't know. I'm just hoping that our great retired college football coaches led by Nick Saban and can get this program better organized.
Yeah, they need a czar. They need a commissioner.
No question.
They need some sanity with the whole thing. Yeah. Hey, let me remind everyone, if you live in Pennsylvania or New Jersey, you can get some delicious Vermeil wine shipped directly to your home. Of course, Vermeil wines make a great gift for the holiday or, of course, just stash them for yourself. Visit VermeilWines.com, the website VermeilWines.com for Coach's entire wine selection. Coach Vermeil, let me thank you for everything this year with our program. Of course, we'll be talking to you in January. We will be off the next couple Fridays. I know, you know, there'll be some other hosts filling in, but thanks for everything this year. And we look forward to the postseason with you, hopefully all the way to mid-February.
Oh, well, thank you. I enjoy being with you guys. I appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks, Dick. Dick, Merry Christmas to you. All right, there he is, legendary coach, Dick Vermeil. All right, 215-592-9494. And, of course, you know, Vermeil, we had Elliott. We also had a beat-the-hammer loss. And let me tell you something about First Trust Bank. Well, yeah, let me tell you this about First Trust Bank. They always tell you, you know, people should challenge the hammer, right? They also tell you, challenge your bank. Because if you challenge your bank, you may find out they're not that good for you. And you should get yourself to First Trust Bank. Hey, listen, let me tell you, that caller Eli, if he's smart, he's getting himself, and he is smart because he beat me and beat the hammer.
He's very smart.
He'd be freaking brilliant to beat me and beat the hammer.
He dominated you.
He should be getting himself to First Trust Bank.
3-2.
John, I'm well aware. Right? Right?
Total domination.
Settle your little whatever down.
Yeah. I mean, that's like 50% more than you. Like, that's pretty complete.
It's not like 50% more. It actually is 50% more. Hey, firsttrustbank.com. Check him out, First Trust Bank. All right, good morning to you on this Football Friday from Borgata. Getting ready for the Eagles and those Commanders. It's another game where Josh Harris goes against Philadelphia, which makes me in no mood to, you know, have him have an arena wherever he wants it. But I guess, James, the fight's just over, right? Is that it? Like yesterday,
so,
that's
like
that's
you said at the beginning of the show, I am not well-versed enough on local politics to know, but it does seem from what we're hearing that that was the biggest hurdle.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what we heard.
Yeah, it seems pretty final.
That's annoying. Hey, congratulations to Temple. This was a couple days ago, but I just want to say this. Congrats to the Owls. If you don't know, the Temple Owls a couple days ago became just the sixth school in college basketball history.
Ever.
Well, that's what college basketball
history
means.
I'm hammering it home. We don't get many things like this, all right? 2,000, buddy.
Congrats to the Owls, the men's basketball program. 2,000 wins, the sixth school of all time. Now, does anyone here know the list of the other teams?
I know it's like, I haven't seen them, but I know it's like
heavyweights.
Duke, Kentucky, like North Carolina. It's like the biggest of bigs, all UCLA. Right,
so Temple has joined this group. Kentucky, Kansas, North Carolina, Duke, UCLA, Temple.
Jeez.
The five awesome? Like biggest schools in college basketball history.
Dude,
Temple.
They probably have, and we could add it up, but they probably have a combined 30 to 40 national titles. The others. And then, of course, and then there's Temple.
Yeah. Well, UCLA alone's got like 11 or something.
Well, they had 11. They had,
they had
10 in 12 years, and then they won the one in 95.
Yeah, so 11. Yeah.
Well, that's just, I don't know if they had any others prior to Wooden. But anyway, it's an amazing thing. So congrats to the Owls. It's a great thing. All right, 215-592-9494. John, I know, you've kind of, all over the place on whether you want the Eagles to feed the ball to Saquon Moore. You kind of started saying no, then you started saying yes. Let me ask you this, John. Do you think they will give it to him more? I don't. I don't think Sirianni will do it.
I think that, look, the last time we played these guys, he got it 26 times. I do think it's part of the plan to get him the ball, and I think he will break a couple, and I think he'll have some nice gains. I think it's likely that he's going to end up with big chunks.
Well, here's when they get
it. Will help this team. I did not initially think it was worth it to go veer from your plan. Veer from your game plan that works best to win. If it means, if you're going to go away from what helps this team improve and helps this team evolve into what it needs to be for the postseason run, then I don't want to do it. But I do think, just trying to take in all the information, when Jason Kelce talks about how much it would mean to him and the offensive linemen, I do think it could make us a better team for the future, for this postseason, if we get this under our belts. It's possible. To some degree, it might be worth the sacrifice in the here and now.
And the risk, because there's a risk. I mean, it's a flat.
Yes,
I mean,
really, it certainly is a risk.
The only negative is just if he gets injured or depleted by the end of the year and isn't as good.
Hold on. It's more than just Saquon, though. If we're going for this, that means the offensive line is staying in the games, too, and you're risking Landon Dickerson. You're risking Jordan Mailata. Any of those guys. It is a lot.
And, Devin, your instincts are don't do it.
My instincts are don't force it. So if Saquon goes off and has another, 140-plus yard game because he needs to in order for the Eagles to win, then I'm okay with that. But not like if the Eagles are up by 14 points in the fourth quarter, take Saquon out. I thought Elliott put it perfectly where Saquon had that scare against the Steelers and my heart stopped. I think all Eagles fans' hearts stopped because we're kind of lost without him, especially with the passing game. We're not sure if that's going to be a consistent thing or not.
Well, we don't know because we haven't seen them this year without him, so we don't know.
No, exactly.
But it would be a hell of a loss.
My philosophy is don't force it. If it happens, that's wonderful. That's great. But if not, I won't be too broken up about it as long as he stays healthy.
Well, here's the thing I'll say about forcing it. Now, how a defense is aligned totally can play a part in this, so I don't want to obscure that reality. But here's what I'd encourage everyone to look for. If it's a forcing it situation, it's probably in the first half because that's when they typically give him the ball less. A lot of times he gets to halftime, hasn't had 10 carries. Mm-hmm. Happens a lot. If he's at like 14 carries in the first half, that's when you'll know okay, maybe they are trying to crank it up a little bit more. Because he typically gets, you know, 10 to 15 in the second half. I mean, that's when they're salting the game away. All right, let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Some more drop of the year fun coming up shortly. Ike in Southwest Philly right now. Good morning, Ike.
What's going on, y'all? Happy holidays to all y'all and your families.
Hi, Ike. Thank you. Happy
you too,
holidays.
Buddy. You too.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. So I'm going against the narrative with the Sixers. First of all, I'll start with Embiid. Listen, I don't understand how people – I understand people are upset and frustrated, but I'll be sitting there thinking on a human level, you don't think he is? He's the person who breaks his face.
I know.
And majority of the time that he's been hurt, is due to stuff that he can't control, like breaking your face because somebody hit you ain't your fault, and he keep coming back. For people who always talk about the NBA and rightly talk about the NBA, people not wanting to play, a dude that keep getting hurt and keep coming back when you could do what Kawhi doing.
Yeah, you could do what Andrew Luck did. Andrew Luck's like, all right, I'm good. I retire.
I will say there's one thing with that I don't think we talk about enough, where it's like, yes, he has the broken face stuff, but the knee and all that. Like, if he had been in shape throughout his career,
yep,
there is a chance he could have prevented some of this. Not the broken
that's
faces.
I said the majority of them. I didn't say all of them.
Yeah.
But the majority of them, like getting elbowed by Siakam and all that type
no question.
Of stuff. Yeah, so
but the saying, other stuff is a huge part of it.
That's the thing. We weigh the other stuff more than others. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
And
I do.
That's all I'm saying. I'm just trying to put some balance to it because people be acting like this dude don't ball. Like, he was extremely hurt and was the leading scorer in the playoffs last year.
I get frustrated when people say he doesn't want to play. I don't believe that at all. Exactly. I don't believe
that.
Thank
you for
saying
that.
Yeah.
And in terms of the stadium, here's the thing. We don't know. But the one thing I do know, that area down there right now, ain't nothing happening. There's nothing happening. For all the people saying it's going to be a tragedy or it's going to be horrible, first of all, 7 years from now, things change. They might have flying cars by then. Who the heck knows? but the point I'm just trying to say is, like, yo, dude, what's the alternative plan? Because I always hear people say, let's not do this. That place been horrible. Because I remember they was going to put a Disney place down there years ago. They was going to put an ESPN zone down
there.
Yeah,
but here's what it does have in South Philly that's really key. Tons of parking. Sprawling parking lots and major roadways that get there easily. And you're talking about Broad Street, you're talking about 95, and you're talking about 76. Like, it's well positioned.
People be acting like they talk about the traffic jams, like it ain't nothing, and in South Philly too. I mean, it's going to be an issue, but you make great point. It's more room for parking and stuff like that. But hey, man, I'm not going to kill it until we see what's going on. Because sometimes we just, like you said to the other guy, I'm not going to ever say I'm not going through it.
I thought that was foolish. All right, give me a great answer, man. Fantastic phone call here. What was a bad idea?
I hope ain't nobody say this, man. Seattle passing that ball in the Super Bowl instead of running.
Great answer, dude.
Well, except they had to pass another second or third down to get four plays. Nobody ever says that.
But what are you talking about?
They had to get four plays. It was first and goal.
It was second and goal.
No, it started first and goal.
Right. They run
then,
the ball.
Then it was second and goal.
Yes.
At the one. In order, because they only had one timeout.
Right. They would have had to throw one of the two. Yeah, but you run on second. You're saying because they weren't expecting it on second?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying to get four plays, you would have either had to pass on second or third down. That's a fact. And that doesn't get brought up enough. Just putting that out there. All right, let's get to Ed in Phoenixville. Ed, good morning.
Good morning, team. How's everyone doing?
Good, buddy.
Doing great, Ed.
So I rarely ask for the chance to do this, but I just want to cook a little bit. It's been if you remember the opening montage of season 2 of The Sopranos, it was the Frank Sinatra, It's a Very Good Year.
Oh, yeah.
And it was been a very good year on my end as well. I think the highlight was getting the chance to meet everybody at the Phillies game, even though it was surface of the sun hot there.
That was hot.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Richie, your absence was noted, by the way.
Thanks.
But I was like, and I made a fool out of myself in front of Ruben Amaro, made some stupid joke about the Tyson Gillies trade, but he was really cool with it.
He rolls with those punches really well, Ed. That's one
honestly
thing
as good as anyone I've met.
I agree.
Had like the most aggressively friendly conversation with Ken from Cinnamons and Tom from Abington and Drew from Westchester. It was like, I rarely like speak with my hands when I'm talking, but like it was, I can't even remember what we were talking about, but it was all like, there's a bunch of yo gangs in there. And I was like, Tom, I just want to do one. I don't want to take your thing. He's like, go ahead. And I gave him a big old corny yo gang. So
nice. We'll do more of them next year, man.
It's our favorite thing to do, man.
Yeah. They're so fun.
Well, my favorite thing to do is winning and beat the Hammer.
Well, that didn't happen.
No, I know it didn't happen, but
yeah.
I must feel so far away. It's almost hard to remember.
Yeah, can't win again until next year. It's a long time.
Wow.
Yeah. So
feel so.
But Ed, thanks for your calls and being there. All right, give me. You got anything on the Birds? You got a double?
I mean, it's kind of tangentially related, but I know what we have such a great team at a lot of positions. I know it's like, hey, don't draft next year's players yet, but boy, Ladd McConkey looked good yesterday. Oh, and how great would it be to have a slot receiver like that?
That would be something. Can you imagine three?
Better than Jahan Dotson, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, right now it feels like that is the one spot we could upgrade.
All right, Ed, give me a great answer. What was a bad idea?
When I joined the Penn 15 club in middle school.
Okay. You got it. I don't know it. Am I supposed to know that joke?
Is this something dirty? No. Yeah, no.
Something illegal?
It's dirt. Like, Penn 15. Like, write it out on a piece of paper.
Oh, okay.
It's like a childish
thing. I thought he said 10, 15.
Oh, no, no.
There's a TV show called Penn 15.
Gotcha.
There is, yeah.
Right, fair enough. All right, Twitter poll questions of the day. We got three of them. They're brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Wishing their employees, customers, and WIP listeners happy holidays and a healthy new year. Together, let's drive to ArminChevy.com. First poll question. We talked a lot about it today. Should the Eagles give Saquon the ball a little bit extra on Sunday to try to help him get Dickerson's record, yes or no? Second poll question, the arena in the center city, do you like it or not? Of course, the vote happened yesterday in city council. Looks like it's now going to happen. Josh Harris will get his arena. Third poll question, who wins Saturday, Penn State or SMU? John, scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you for the college football tournament?
Yeah.
For the first, I'm actually like a 5 or 6.
I'm higher, I'm like an 8.
No, but that's way higher than I expected.
For me too.
Well, that's the thing. The jump from where it was before is so substantial. I might have been like a 3 before. I think that I might be a 7 or 8 now. Like it's a disparate jump. I didn't think it would feel as cool as it does. I love the fact that you got teams from all over the place, and it feels a little bit exotic.
It does.
With the matchups.
Exotic.
I love that.
And, of course, it also gives Penn State, you know, a shot.
Totally.
When they otherwise wouldn't have a shot.
Yeah, that's what I like about it. It gives team. Well, not that Penn State never has a shot. Cause, like,
no,
they're always pretty good,
but they weren't winning. They wouldn't have been in the BCS title game.
Right.
Like, they just weren't top two.
Yeah. I was sick. I mean, I still am sick of just the same schools constantly in the championships.
Although Clemson, freaking fell apart.
Yeah.
James, how many does college football need to expand it to get Devin's Pitt Panthers in there? Is that
I don't
40?
Know if there's a number high enough.
64?
I'm Temple, so I can't talk.
We started off the year undefeated, and then the quarterback got injured.
At 0-0, you were feeling pride being undefeated?
What?
You just said we started the year undefeated.
They were like 6-0 to start the
relax.
Year.
Relax. When the year starts, you're
0-0. What's Fairfield's record, huh? Oh, they're busy dressing up as Santa.
I guess also 0-0. Oh, hey, SantaCon, you saw it, right?
I did.
That was Joe. That was wild, man. Way
that
bigger than I had envisioned.
Uh-huh. Yeah. James, I'm taking off next year to go to
SantaCon.
You
should. That thing looks awesome.
Uh-huh. I know.
Okay.
It doesn't seem that awesome to me.
John, you'd be a stick in the mud.
It looked awesome.
Next year, I'm partying with the college kids.
Fairfield has the market cornered on people dressing up as Santa?
We got the market cornered.
Why is that Fairfield specific? I think they do that everywhere, don't they?
Yeah, not like Fairfield. Go big or go home. Let's get to Jimmy right now. Drop of the year coming up in a moment. Jimmy, good morning.
Hey, good morning, everybody. How you doing?
What's up, Jimmy?
Great show. I mean, between BG, the E, and Tyson's legacy, I feel like all were just phenomenal.
Well, we're having fun. By the way, Jimmy, what should have advanced between BG's crying and the two in the butt?
To the butt, Very whatever. Different.
Two,
very
two,
different
two,
than
Joe.
In the butt.
What did I
say? You said
know
two
that
in
you can
the butt.
Say that.
Well, we all know that's basically the what makes it funny, though.
Well, it's funny because I mean, yeah,
we've all seen porn. Come on.
Oh, no.
Well, most of us have, at least.
Oh, no. That was great, but I got to go with BG. He's just a legend. I mean, that play he made in the Super Bowl was unbelievable, and he's just been a leader on and off the field for so long.
Yeah.
He's a dog. But I got to say, from a selfish point of view, Jim Brown is going for the triple crown here, and there's a chance with St. Joe's Prep football, Penn State and Nittany Lions, and the Eagles. And I think if that happens, I might just stop watching sports.
It doesn't get better. You've reached your pinnacle.
I hadn't even thought of that.
I hadn't either.
That's pretty good.
It's viable. I mean, Penn State has a nice path, and I've told you guys for the past couple months that 26 is the best player in the league. And if they're healthy, they're the best team in the NFL. So happy holidays.
They look that way. All right, Jimmy, what was a bad idea?
Every NFL team not drafting Tom Brady.
Yeah, that's a great great answer right there. John, and Jimmy, thanks for the call. John, this Jimmy keeps calling in, prep grad. Is it irritating you?
Not really.
Because I love it, you know. I mean, cracks me up. By the way, the prep would obviously beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. Steelers clearly third in the state. Matter of fact, maybe fourth, maybe behind Penn State. All right, with that, now next hour, James, next hour, we will do a review of what one drop of the year last year.
Correct,
So we'll get to that next hour. And next hour, we'll also have another semifinalist and ultimately crown the champion for this year. But let's do our third batch, as James has taken all the drops from this year and brought them down into semifinalists. We will choose one of these that will advance to the 9 o'clock hour. James, let's crank it up.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Hallelujah.
It's the drop.
Krzyzewski. Krzyzewski
of the week.
Did it fall? All right, so far in the first 2 hours, Brandon Graham Crine has advanced to the finals. Devin's E has advanced to the finals, and perhaps two to the butt. Perhaps
two to the butt.
Perhaps that has advanced, but we have a little controversy on that. All right, James, go ahead.
Love a good controversy when we're talking about.
Well,
drops.
I mean, we had rules, and then all of a sudden,
yeah, you're right.
Like,
no,
people
you're right.
Like,
you're right. It's important. It's important to follow the rules when it comes to this. Okay, let's roll here. Who'd have thunk it? I spent all this time putting the drops together, and then you get an unexpected entrant today.
Who won the Stanley Cup? It was some rando. God, I really don't know, which is horrendous. Who won the frickin' Stanley Cup?
I had to. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Some rando.
Well, they are.
I don't take
any of the teams above 21, I don't take them serious.
That's great.
Give me games against the Rangers, the Bruins, Edmonton. Keep it real.
Original six. Is that what you're saying?
No, we're beyond that, because without that, we wouldn't have the Flyers. But you get
my point. All right, let's roll. Joe, you said this.
What did I do to the world to deserve this other guy to have, like, you know, 7 extra inches? Come on, man.
Oh, man.
What was that about? Oh, height in basketball. That's
it was, yes. Yeah. I like to not let you know what it was about. All right, let's keep it going. Joe doesn't know, as I've said, a big theme. And in this case, it was tadpoles.
Ben,
yes.
Malvern Prep.
Uh-huh.
How does the caterpillar become the butterfly? Like, I'm 46 years
that's
old.
That's just
I still,
nature.
I haven't figured that one out. Caterpillar.
Cocoon.
Butterfly.
Uh-huh. Cocoon.
Chrysalis.
Tadpole. Yes. Frog.
Crystallization.
See, I didn't know that one. Tadpole and frog? I didn't know that.
What?
No,
come
what?
On.
Whoa.
I didn't know that.
Wait.
I don't know that at all.
Hold on.
You
stop. Joe.
What? I didn't know that.
What?
I'm looking at your face. You're dead serious.
I had no idea that tadpole becomes a frog.
No way.
You can't be serious.
I'm dead serious.
So you thought,
I know of tadpoles and I know of frogs.
Are you serious?
I didn't know one becomes the other.
You're 46.
This is amazing.
Let me tell you something. If you had not just played that, I would not have remembered.
No!
I'm being honest with you.
We need a montage of Joe talking about animals and like science. Like we could do a full 10-minute montage.
We could do a 10-minute montage.
Yeah.
The part that was so miraculous about that was that Ben was witness. Ben was flummoxed. This idea that Joe just has the incapacity of learning.
He didn't know what to do with himself. Yeah. It's pretty amazing. All right, let's keep it rolling. Joe, you said this.
I might start having Tickle Tuesdays. Well, I do.
Yeah. Good.
Guys, it's
you got to remember
tremendous.
That.
Tremendous. All right.
Let me ask you a quick question. I know we got to move with this. Okay. Quick question. Uh-huh. Will the three of you come to my apartment in 2025 to use the bidet?
Sure.
No.
Are we invited?
Yes. You've been invited for since I've had.
You never usually invite us.
I'm in.
This is disgusting. No. Think about
nothing
what you're
that
touches.
Nothing
to,
that touches me will touch you. Other than the toilet seat itself.
Think about what, no.
The bidet parts won't
I'm not coming
you.
To your apartment specifically to use a thing that sprays water in my butt.
Okay. Well,
to the butt,
I gave you
maybe.
The choice.
To the butt.
Just right. saying, it's, you're invited. It's
good to know. All right, let's keep it rolling. I said we'll have Conklin throughout. In my opinion, I think this might have been the best thing from Conklin this year. The Joe DiCamera attack ad.
Wait till you hear Joe's position on family planning.
Typically pull it out when it could benefit me.
And freedom to make decisions about our own bodies.
I gave you my nipples.
What?
Belts to asses.
Joe's promised he would govern as a dictator if elected. Rashist behavior.
Yeah!
He pranced around with a rash on his ass for 3 years and didn't even know it. A blatant rashist.
A 3 year rash.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, that was great.
Great job. Shout out to Matt.
That could advance.
Yeah. Very, very good. All right, let's keep it rolling. I guess if, you know, one of the greatest Eagles running backs of all time gives a shout out to John Ritchie, we should probably play it here, Shady.
I gotta give a shout out to my guy John Ritchie. He's from Harrisburg legend. I'm from Harrisburg, he is too, so shout out to him.
Did not see that coming.
I can't believe that.
That shocked me.
I feel so privileged. I'm blown away that he knows.
Out of nowhere, too. He's just like, hey, I got to say this.
I didn't know that he knew that I was from the vicinity. That's really cool. Even though once upon a time when we were at training camp, I went and took him to lunch. And I was an Eagle player, and he was a high school kid, and he was coming up from McDevitt. And it was he was really good at the time.
All right, let's keep it rolling. Joe, you said this.
Seasonal sex?
What?
Mm.
Seasonal sex?
Don't remember that. I don't remember that at all.
I didn't either, but I love it. All right, let's keep it rolling. Joe, our hammer entrant for this one, we did the montage before. I think this is probably the most aggressive celebration of the year, and it led to a very famous drop on the show. Here, I believe, was 262.
Larry Anderson.
Ah, freaking yeah! Hammer time, baby! And we're not talking MC. The Hammer! 262!
Well, you don't know what Ed got.
Yes, he's a loser. I told you, come in, he's a fool and a loser. What do you do?
You won 5-0.
And this guy knows something, which shows you the great... I mean, why do we even bother? Listen. There was the Roman Empire, the Hammer Empire! I went Caesar on his ass!
I'm going to get thrown out of the Borgata, by the way, for screaming.
I'm a little worried.
It's going to be a security issue soon. And we're just doing a radio show, ladies and gentlemen. It's just Sports Talk Radio, having some fun. It's a segment where I kick ass!
Yeah, I think it's so good.
Because I brought it down and then took it back up again.
Plus, of course, in case you didn't notice,
the Hammer!
From that celebration has been played 8 trillion times on our show this year. Yeah. That was the genesis of
all
the
right.
Hammer.
I like it.
Pretty good. All right, let's keep it rolling. Quick one here. Jason Kelce. He dropped a couple F-bombs here and there on the show. This was the best one.
And I'm like, the gall of this motherfucker. Oh, sorry. Beep that. Sorry. So sorry.
It's so true.
The reaction was so good immediately. He's like, oops, my bad. All right, a couple more here.
By the way, I just got to say this real quick. When we taped that show the other day, the fake show, not fake, but, practice show for his ESPN show, curses were going. And I'm like, wait, I mean, are we really, like, we shouldn't be cursing right now. I didn't know what the hell to do. Anyway, it was a whole thing.
Maybe is it allowed on late night?
I don't think so, but I don't know. I wouldn't. I don't know. I just would imagine not.
Okay, 4 more to get to. It's a haymaker, guys. We talked a lot about it. We played a piece of it, but a lot of people have not heard. And I'm sorry to do it to you, John, but you had to know it was coming. the full John Ritchie cry when Jason Kelce retired.
God. This is like uncharted territory for me to be like unable to function.
Were you in Joe to camera territory? Of
absolutely.
Did you cry?
Did you cry? I was bawling. I was bawling.
A lot of people did. I know they did.
I mean, this is really. I mean, I'm laughing at myself a little bit because I can't control it now.
Wow.
This morning, talking to Joe Wechter, we're walking in. He said, "How you doing?"
Yeah.
I'm trying to laugh this off. It's not funny. I don't know how to react.
It's all good, man. It's all good. Look,
this is affecting me so much more than it should.
Why do you think that is?
Because he was so much more to me than most players, and I identified with him,
yep.
I think.
Sure.
In a lot of ways that I didn't even realize.
I wish you could have seen John's face. John is in the studio with me.
I'm just watching the basketball game.
He was like, nope.
Yeah.
Nope. Not giving this any attention.
John, here's the miracle of 2024. Despite putting that out, you got, I think, the love of your life this year.
How about it? How about it?
Like,
maybe
a moment
we'll hear
like that.
That
could have prevented, because there's about 3.5 billion women in the world. It could have prevented all 3.5 billion from having interest in you. And yet one found your heart. So good for you, man.
Yeah.
That to me is drop of the year. John Ritchie announcing your girlfriend.
Yeah. Well, it's in the next one.
No,
we're going to get there.
No,
don't worry.
I think John Cryan will probably win.
It
but anyway,
probably will. All right. Yeah. So three more quick ones. Just a little taste of Conklin doing the Ritchie cry. Just because we heard it.
I've had a coach who gives me such an impact. You just got to battle through.
Nice job there.
That's really good.
All right, two more. I wanted to get, I know you play the, you know, we've got the hammer and all that, but I wanted to get one of your drops from your drop board because that's been such a big part of the show this year. This is my personal favorite. I think this drop rocks. I love playing it. I think it's awesome.
You should keep your mouth shut.
It really is.
I think it's awesome. It's one of my favorite drops ever, so I wanted to shout it out.
One
last one. You guys know I like to do the little master cuts of Joe's noises. Well, I did it just for this year.
Oh, boy.
So these are the noises that Joe DeCamera made in 2024.
Question. Mostly relevant to the future.
Just in his NBA career. Harder because it's near the end of the year. So the Flyers.
Freaking go to the phones.
All right. Well.
I don't think those are just from this year. Really?
Those are just this year. These are just 2024.
It's amazing, James. Can you play that
those...
one more? I'm gonna hear that one more time. Yeah. Let's hear that. Let's do that one more time.
Jeez. Here we go.
Question. Mostly relevant to the future. Just in his NBA career. Harder because it's near the end of the year. So the Flyers.
Freaking go to the phones.
All right. Well.
This whole game out of you.
It was like a purring. It was something like a motor.
Some of them sound like his stomach or.
And the first one sounds like a dog or something.
Well, that thing. That's not. That I don't think that's normal. No, like we need to call someone who has medical knowledge.
Because it's so good.
Because we might need a referral. Like Joe, you might need attention for this.
That's not good.
No, look, that's so bizarre.
If it wasn't in the same hour as John's crying, that might have advanced.
I agree.
So John's crying has to advance.
It has
right?
to. Yeah, it's so great. Yep.
All right, John, you're in the finals,
great.
Buddy.
Congrats.
Super.
All right, James, well done putting all that together. Let's go back to the phones, 215-592-9494. So in the 9 o'clock hour, it'll be John's crying, Brandon Graham's crying, and Devin's E, and possibly two to the butt. And then we'll have one more group of semifinalists early in the 9 o'clock hour. Let's go to Mike right now. Mike, good morning, buddy.
Good morning, gang. You know what I realized? Devin's E is probably the sound someone would make if they got chewed to the butt, but hopefully it doesn't lead to John Stein.
All right. I don't know. That's a little aggressive. Yeah. All right, Mike, let's move on.
Yes. All right, let's move on. So here's my take on Saquon. I don't necessarily want them to go completely out of their way, but I do not want them to shy away from it. Because what I'm fearful of, you see how much this means to this team, it means to the offensive line, and it could potentially mean to this franchise, this city. Like, if we don't go for it and we start to take our foot off the pedal, I'm actually nervous that the team might have a little bit of an emotional letdown. Because the offensive line specifically just so jazzed up about it.
I don't think they're wired that way, Mike. That would be petty. I don't think these guys are petty. I don't. Don't get me wrong. I think there are some teams and athletes that would be wired that way. I don't think these guys are. Take the O-line. Who from the offensive line do you think would be so aggravated with the coaching staff that they wouldn't give it their all in the postseason? Who? Dickerson, Malata? None of them. No one's going to do that.
I'm not saying that they're going to be aggravated and have like some kind of mutiny.
Well, that's what you're implying, though, right?
No. What I'm implying is like they're playing so spirited, they're just so jazzed up about this opportunity. Look, there might be a little bit of a letdown. I'm not saying that they're going to, again, turn on the team, but there might be a little bit of emotional letdown saying, you know what, I really wish we kind of went for it. Like, I don't know. That's where I'm fearful.
Well, I guess that's not inconceivable, but I don't worry about it. We'll see. All right, Mike, give me a great answer.
I think it matters if everyone wants to do this and they don't. I do think it's something to consider, Mike, and we did gloss over that part.
Yeah,
Mike, players' opinions do come into this.
Mike, give me a bad idea. Yep. What do you got?
About 30 years ago, all these food companies wanted to do a little healthier take on snacks. So they introduced snacks with this new product called Olestra, which caused diarrhea in everybody.
Wow. I don't even know that, but fair.